players wouldn't contain anything too important, we decided that one priest would be enough. It's the same story with the tanks. We also decided not to include the spoilt brats. Who? Spoilt brats. Players who had reached level plus 280, but behave like little children. Phoenix tries not to accept such players, but sometimes it needs to. Like Rick, for instance. It's no secret that with the launch of Barleona, very many 16-year-old misfits, rejected by society, headed for the game to fill their gray world with new colors. They kept leveling up without stepping out of the game for months at a time, until, at last, they became great. They never really grew out of being teenagers or out of their insatiable desire to be total poners. Damn, I hate that word. Why? There is a certain pretty boy with a similar name. Anyway, these 300-something levelers tend to be a pretty unpleasant bunch. So, between ourselves, that's what we call them, spoiled brats. By the way, have you ever wondered why in a game that has existed for over 15 years, so few players are above level 300? And why that is only the case on our continent? There are over 10 times more high-level players in Astrum than in Malabar, while the Celestial Empire should soon welcome the first 400-level player. But not in Malabar. Here, people are prepared to sacrifice their reputation, money, anything, just to prevent someone else from gaining levels. If you're drowning, you have to pull the next guy in with you. There are several clans even set up especially for hunting down level 300s and sending them for respawn. They do it simply because they can. Hold on. Isn't the Celestial Empire part of Malabar? Why would it be? The division amongst the continents in Barleona differs from the real world. The number may be the same, but in Barleona, Malabar is Europe, and the Celestial Empire is the whole of Asia. Astrum is North America, Rathrand includes South America and Australia, and everything else is part of Kaltua. Strange. I never really thought about it. But let's get back to the raid. So it looks like the Beatwick experience wasn't enough for the clan leaders. They have developed a taste for repeated respawn or something? There we had a mere level 20 location, but half of the high-level players who answered the Emperor's call ended up taking a dirt nap without even having the chance to do anything. Why on earth did they decide that it would be any different here? Because it was announced from the start there. That was a continent-wide scenario, but this time it was a normal quest and a normal location. Nothing global was supposed to go down here.
I agree. Do Not Punic came up to us. We fumbled when we put the group together. If Plinto is right about his level, there's little point in going after the general with a raid like this.
Our best chance would be to get our raiders and fighters here, proposed Anastaria. They don't even have to do the quest or be included in the group. 6,000 level 200s can be here in as little as 2 days' time.
Stacy, did you forget that you were kicked out of Phoenix? Smiled Do Not Punic. And, by the way, while no one can hear us, I can tell you I didn't buy your and Eckler's performance for a second. You've decided to put Rick and Hellfire back in their place, haven't you? And you can stop trying to drill a hole in me with those eyes. I haven't said anything about this even inside my clan. You're bound to have a number of Phoenix moles in there. Don't worry. Your secret's safe with me. The dragons can also bring 7 or 8,000 level 200s. We would be able to mow down the general and Midial by force of numbers. Our raid wouldn't even have to lift a finger. The fighters will handle it all themselves.
It's decided, then, I agreed, after a brief discussion where it was explained to me what a huge crowd like this would be doing around one lone boss, when no more than 15 players are able to stand right next to him, and even then, they'd be getting in each other's way. Let's get 6,000 players from each clan, including the heirs of the Titans. We should get a Tamsalat in on it, too. I'm just not that eager to go for respawn. Will a day be enough to gather everyone? In that case, we can have a breather until then. I'll go make the announcement. At first glance, the idea seemed excellent, but its implementation, not a single extra player was able to enter the Dark Forest, and on top of that, the quest description now sported an additional point saying that after the lieutenant, the conditions forbade adding anyone else to the group. I also felt rather uneasy about the absence of any new letters. The old ones didn't go anywhere, but new ones had stopped arriving. There was the possibility that Anastaria's admirers had finally come to their senses, but I had limited faith in people suddenly seeing reason. Things like that were just too rare. When I shared my suspicions with Anastaria, she checked something, cursed, and logged out of the game to get to the bottom of what was happening in the Dark Forest. That's how we eventually reached the announcement of the Emperor's quest. Moreover, this was the updated, not the original, version of it. As I tried to focus on another ring, my thoughts constantly returned to the update. If the object required for completing a quest always drops from your inventory on death, Anhur's will turn into one big bloodbath. Why trudge all the way to Rastrum when you can just sit it out in the capital, wait for a small group with a symbol above their heads to turn up, and simply take all that you needed off them? As for getting exalted straight away, isn't that a bit much? According to Anastaria, exalted reputation with the Emperor automatically gives a player exalted status with all other Malabar factions. This happens irrespective of what reputation he had with them to begin with. For example, this would have allowed me to sort out my relations with Sarist and pay Prontho, the Mine Governor, a visit. I still had to get to the bottom of what happened between him and Shyam. But then, why did the developers even make this change, I wonder? This was nothing less than open encouragement of PvP. After all, the 5,000 gold fine for killing a player within the city wasn't much of a deterrent. They even shut down the safe zones so that the quest would have to be handed in by an enormous group, which would thereby protect a small group with those symbols above their heads. Although, even if such a group tried to make its way there, you could just throw an Armageddon spell and boom! The leading clans have enough resources for a spell like that. Stacy, I finally tore myself away from ring-making and addressed the girl who was sitting lost in thought nearby. Listen, even if, purely hypothetically, our clan manages to get the necessary quest item, how would we ever get it to the Emperor? Do you have any ideas? Anastaria immediately snapped out of her thoughts. Of course. According to the conditions of the High Priestess's quest, we must recover the Stone of Light. We could try to see if that might do it.
It won't work. I already thought about that. You yourself said that there is a pile of these stones around the throne right now, and they are only blocking the effect of the dagger. No, Something else is needed here. And as for handing it in, we'll come to some arrangement with Killer. They can hand it in while leaving us in their group. 20 people. There's 2 of us.
6. I'm not ditching the guys.
So, whom did you decide to leave out? Plinto or Barcina?
The druid. She's only with us temporarily, so there is little sense in giving her anything. Plinto is definitely with me for at least a year, and then we'll see. Perhaps after that he'll stick around for longer. Essentially, if I get the stone, Sea Thistles will only get 5 places. The rest would be taken by Phoenix.
Man, I get that you're not exactly an average guy, but don't you think this is a bit much? I'm not into selling the skin before killing the bear, especially when the aforementioned bear is definitely out of your league. I'm sorry, but this just isn't your level. If you manage to get your hands on the holy object that would put the sign above you, I don't know. You get 1 wish from me, any wish, up to and including my agreeing to spend a year in the Sea Thistles clan.
I'll hold you to that.
By the way, you also promised to tell me what the deal was with the dwarf riddle. They use the Viganeri cipher, with master as the code word. This produces the line 3 and 5 and 2 and 9 without 40, without spaces. This expression is too ambiguous, so there has to be several other clues.
Yeah, there are a couple more lines.
Seems child's play now,
smiled Anastaria after receiving the remaining formulas.
Although, if you hadn't come across it before, you might have had trouble solving it. How many answer attempts do the dwarves have? 3? You can try 2 yourself, and if neither works, don't waste the 3rd one. I'll help you with the answer. Damn, no, leave me 2 attempts, because there are 2 possible solutions here. Either one could work, so it's best to play it safe.
Couldn't you just tell me? I asked, taken aback.
I think not.
The girl shook her head.
Figure this one out for yourself, but only input the answer when you're completely sure it's right. What do you intend to do next?
To travel to the spot marked on the map. Looks like we'll have to fight the remaining bosses ourselves. I don't see any other way.
There's rather a lot of them there, said Do Not Punic, when we finished watching the results of Plinto's reconnaissance. The base of the Fallen was exactly where the High Priestess had marked on the map. It looked somewhat like a wooden castle, surrounded by a stockade, a few watchtowers, although personally I didn't get why you needed them in a forest, manned with guards, small huts randomly strewn through the grounds, and 2 enormous houses, probably the abodes of the General and Midial. All in all, a fairly standard model of a Cartus wooden castle. But why the Cartus look, when the priest had come from Malabar, remained unclear. Around 100, level plus 250, fallen vampires, 20 or so enslaved level 300 elementals, and an undetermined number of level plus 350 mages, who periodically came out of the huts, was a disheartening sight. But there was an interesting detail. There was no mist inside the stockade, so from Plinto's video, you could clearly see 2 glades in the very middle of the settlement. One was completely black, and the other one green and covered in flowers. A small object glinted in each of the glades. It couldn't be seen very clearly, but most probably these were the Stone of Light and the Tear of Iluna, respectively. The goal of our raid...
I have a proposal, the Azure Dragon's deputy said straight away. Why don't we send Plinto inside? He'll grab the Tear of Iluna, and then all of us will make tracks for the Guardian's Glade. I reckon we can make it back there in a day. Our task is not to kill everything that moves here, but simply retrieve the tear. By the way, is the second stone related to your quest?
It's a good idea, definitely worth thinking about, but we shouldn't all crowd in. It's enough to—
I'm against it, I interrupted Anastaria. Our aim is to cleanse the forest. If we take out the tear, that NPC will stick something else in its place. We'll fight. I'll handle the strategy. You work out the tactics. Can you think of a way to take care of this local mob in the most painless manner possible? Ants and myself will get the elementals. Damn. Ants will get them. I'm still under a penalty.
A fight, then,
said the girl thoughtfully, looking through the recording one more time.
There's only one gate, through which no more than 5 mobs at a time may pass. If we block them, then... No, that won't work. There are the watchtowers and the mages. They'll down the tanks in no time. So we can only lure them out into the forest. What do you say, Don?
That all depends on how long it takes Ants in the Pantsa to free the elementals. Last time it took around a minute to free one, but that was with 2 shamans at it. Right now, from what I understand, Mayan is as much use as a chocolate teapot. 2 minutes for each, and there are 20 of them. We only have 3 tanks. No, we won't hold out. That's 5 complete sets, which is too much even for Hellfire.
Yeah, said Anastaria slowly. There is, of course, the option of breaking into the castle, killing as many mobs as possible, getting sent for respawn, returning, and repeating until we clear them all. The time it takes for mobs to respawn is 3 months, so we should have enough time.
Yeah, right. And get our experience gain bar knocked all the way back to 0,
chuckled Do Not Punic.
The entire raid will be falling over to thank you for that one.
Then I'm out of ideas for now. The only sensible course of action is to send Plinto out and then have the entire raid running for the Guardian's Glade. Everything else is pure suicide.
Right. It's getting late already, so I propose we continue this tomorrow morning, I decided. And all the same, try to think of how we could destroy that base. Painful as it was to admit, the idea voiced by Do Not Punic made perfect sense. There are too few for such a big crowd of mobs, so either we have to resort to trickery or look for a workaround. The trickery part was easy. Plinto would sneak in, snatch the tear and the stone, good thing he's got that quest already, and leg it out of there. Then he'd mount his phoenix and speed toward the Guardian's Glade. Then there'd be general happiness, celebration, and rejoicing. And yet, I could feel it in my bones that if this were to occur, I could kiss goodbye to the second earring of the Guardian. My conclusion? We had to look for a workaround. And here, Anastaria should be able to help me.
Natalie, do you have a minute?
I managed to shout just in time as I noticed that the Lady Shaman was about to log back to reality.
A word before you go, or rather a task for you. Do you remember the strange dark phantoms that surrounded the elementals? Can you dig around Shaman history? That's the only place it could be. Please look for information or articles mentioning the words mist, phantom, or shadow. These entities didn't just turn up by accident. They are certain to be recorded in history in some way. As you remember, the Supreme Spirits know nothing about the nature of these phantoms, despite being the custodians of shamanistic knowledge in the game. So there would be little use in doing this. You have a look, and then we'll see, all right? First thing tomorrow, tell me all about it. Stacy! After leaving the shaman, I called Anastaria over. I have a question.
I can't tell you this, came the girl's immediate answer. I signed an NDA.
You don't even know what I want to ask you.
I heard your conversation with Ants. You want to ask about the nature of Elenium's quest. I can't tell you. But I can give you a hint that you've started to dig in the right direction.
I see. Then another question. Why haven't you asked me about Slate yet, although it's already been a week? He's the only NPC among us, and you know who he is, but are behaving as if there's nothing unusual here.
What's the point? We'll have a chat once we are finished with the forest, assuming we don't lose him. If you tell me about this now, you've as good as shared the quest with me, and then suddenly the prince dies. Do you think the princess will be happy when she finds out that I, too, was involved in the death of her intended? So, thanks, but no thanks. Once we make it out of the forest, I'll start asking questions. Who needs the extra stress right now? Everything in good time.
I watched the girl as she walked away, and instead of feasting my eyes on her beautifully drawn avatar, I was turning over Stacy's last word. Time. There's a time for everything. Once again, there is a time for everything.
Well, I'll be. Stacy, you're a genius.
Man. The voice of Barcina, my only female fighter, tore me away from my musings about the epic plan to capture the Castle of the Fallen.
Tell me, are you going to exclude me from the clan after we're finished in the Dark Forest? Or is there a possibility that I could stick around?
What do you mean, exclude you? Didn't we agree that you are joining the clan temporarily so that you could be a part of the Imitator's loot allocation for both quests? As for sticking around, why the sudden interest?
There are a good number of reasons, really. The first and the main one being that it's profitable to be around you. In 1 week, I've earned more than in the previous few months. 2 levels more, and I'll gain access to several interesting locations where I can earn good money. I'm set to reach level 170 once we complete the Guardian's quest. This would mean a new ability and class-based quests. The second, and no less significant reason, is the presence of Anastaria and Plinto. They are legends in Malabar, and I can learn a lot from them. Just the amendment of the clan agreement that Anastaria proposed today is quite something. Right now our officers are sitting and scratching their heads, wondering how they could miss such obvious loopholes. I would have never spotted them myself either, by the way. The third reason actually outweighs the other two. I like it here, in your clan. So I'd like to stay, if possible.
Fine. In that case, I'll put you in charge of everything healing-related. Look at the current membership agreement and have a chat with Anastaria. In a couple of days, I'd like to have a list of all the classes we might need. How many priests, druids, shamans, paladins of light, and other healer classes you would find in any normal clan. Plinto! Eric! I have a task for you. I immediately called over the rogue and the warrior and told them to put together the best possible team of fighters and tanks. If one wanted to take part in the clan tournament, and I did, you would need people. Bugging Anastaria for every small task is pretty daft if there are other capable players just idling about.
So, having given everyone their tasks, I sat under the tree and started to put together my plan for getting into the Fallen One's castle. I watched through Plinto's video a few more times and saw once again that the mobs were spread throughout the entire castle, except for the green glade with the Stone of Light. As Anastaria put it, everything in good time. If we swap time for place, then what if the fallen mobs cannot step into an area affected by a blessed object? And what if this prohibition is at the level of their programming? If my memory doesn't fail me, in Beatwick, I managed to save a good number of NPCs from modification by giving them blessed amulets. What if we weren't meant to kill the mobs, but scare them away? Or even, and here another bulb lit above my head, free them, as we did with the elementals or the lieutenant. Perhaps even my reputation problems would go away if I returned about 200 vamps and mages to the Patriarch. It may not work for me, but Anastaria definitely wouldn't miss a chance like that. In order to enact my plan, I needed blessed statuettes. I was feeling very thankful to Beth that she hurried her priestesses, and now, among other things, I had some blessed ore and marble in my sack. It was time to get busy with some crafting.
"Will you tell me what you're up to?"
Anastaria asked me in the morning, having interrupted me in the middle of another masterpiece.
"This doesn't look like jewelry, and judging by your groggy eyes and level of energy, you've been working all night. Spill the beans, because I've got nothing except the gradual clearing out the mobs."
"Let's wait for Do Not Punic. Then I'll tell both of you all about it. I have just a couple of pieces of ore left, so I'll make one more blade. Then you can hit me with any question you like. You're right. I do have an idea. It just remains to be seen if it's actually doable."
"It might just work," exclaimed my Azure Dragon's deputy advisor when I described my plan and showed him the result of my nightly labors. 23 knife blades, which lacked handles but still represented completed items, and around 30 small marble pinecone-shaped figurines. I had a new recipe to show for it, too, marble pinecone. I had also discovered the jewelers were able to make throwing weapons, which would cause physical damage depending on the strength of the thrower.
"What's their radius?"
asked Anastaria straight away. "For that, we need a victim," I told the happy news to my advisors. "We have to go to the castle and check. I'm not at all sure that a rogue carrying a blessed item will be able to sneak inside, even under invisibility, so we have to be clear from the start that the victim would end up going for respawn."
"Should we cast lots?" proposed Do Not Punic. "Because, aside from you and your three fighters, no one would volunteer to lose 30% of the experience progress bar. Trying to send a priest to get the volunteer back up would mean sacrificing the priest. But for you, the loss of experience would be negligible by comparison."
"I agree," Anastaria said after some hesitation. "The optimal choice would be Leidy as the one with the lowest level. But we should still draw lots."
"No, we shouldn't." I put an end to these deliberations. "The decision has already been taken. I'll go. This was my idea. The stones and the ore were mine, and I should be the one to carry it out. Due to my penalties, I'm not much of a shaman for the next 2 weeks anyway. And I'm somewhat curious, too. It's not every month that I have the opportunity to visit a castle with level plus 350 mobs. Plinto, let's go. You'll get to tape the raid leader being sent for respawn."
"Hold on," Anastaria stopped me. "Let's at least ask the others, just in case anyone else wants to take the risk. Remember, if this idea works, we won't wait for your respawn and attack straight away. There's little point in the raid sitting on its hands for 12 hours straight. 200 vampires, elementals, and mages. With your current 82nd level, you're almost guaranteed to hit 90 after this. Are you prepared to lose that much experience?
I hadn't really thought about my respawn from this perspective. It's like I'd started to perceive myself as some great hero, unbeatable and unstoppable. Oh, I recalled a rather suitable word for this.
Big-headedness. Was I really suffering from it? And where do you place the thin line between luck and letting things go to my head?
I'm against sending the low-level players now, Do Not Punic said, completely ripping my plans to shreds. I had another look at Plinto's report and finally understood that there's nothing they can do there. As you can see, the gates may be open, but there's around 20 meters to cover between them and the nearest tree. There are two towers by the gates with 250-level archers, which means that any low-level player would be dropped in an instant. So, the question arises, what would be the point? You can't throw a bubble over him, because then the mobs would go for the rest of the raid. Man doesn't have any defense either, since he can't even summon his spirits.
So, you want to check it out, then?
Plinto, whom I'd called over earlier, didn't go anywhere and was now looking thoughtfully in the direction of the castle.
You won't be able to run under the noses of the dark mobs with blessed items on you. You'll be discovered immediately. Give those to me. I'll go pay those castle campers a visit. If the plan works, don't forget to get me back up. I can wait for 3 hours or so. Time I began to work off that investment you made in me, right? And, Mayan, a little word of advice for the future. You can't do everything yourself in this game. You have to delegate, otherwise you'll burn out all too soon. That's it. I'm off. Fogger, you're with me as cameraman. Lantirius, you come along too. You'll film it from the other angle. What am I doing?
Here, I handed Plinto several items. Your task is simple. You have to block the entrance into the castle by throwing these items along the gate, about a meter from each other. The fallen must get locked inside so the raid can walk right up to the castle and Ants in the Pantsa can gradually free the vampires. There's no need to attack anyone. You may even throw some of the cones and knives inside, which will cut the fallen up into several groups. All in all, do as you see fit, but the main aim is the gate.
Gotcha. Then give me everything that you've made. With haste and cloak activated, minus 40% damage for 10 seconds, I'll run across the castle and make their day. That's it. I'm off. Send me a postcard.
The rogue took all the blessed items from me and headed off to the castle.
Stacy, how do you know him?
Said Do Not Punic slowly, gazing after the departing Plinto.
To be honest, I always thought that he was one of those spoiled bratniks, but now my whole understanding of reality has been demolished. Plinto, whose name has even given rise to the special term to plint it, that is, to do something without switching on your brain first, turns out to be a completely reasonable guy.
Don, why ask meaningless questions?
Smiled the girl.
You know full well that I won't be answering that, so what's the point?
Anastaria turned to me and, in all seriousness, said,
When you offer Do Not Punic to join your clan, take me along, too. You don't know how to bargain properly, and Don here is an expert in the field. He'll have you for dinner. You'll think you've done him a favor, and before you know it, you'll end up owing him instead.
What?
You still don't get it? Our normally quiet and calm Death Knight, who's barely been visible behind Undigget's back, suddenly starts to show his real self, and in your company, no less. This is nothing short of self-promotion.
Anastaria turned to the Death Knight and continued,
Don, let me disappoint you straight away. I'm in Sea Thistles temporarily. In 3 months' time, just before the clan championship, I'll return to Phoenix. There is a chance, of course, that I'll stay, but it's so tiny that it isn't even worth mentioning.
Typical, uttered Do Not Punic in feigned offense. The moment you decide to join another clan, some reason is bound to pop up to make it totally impossible.
You really think you have it all figured out? I parried. What makes you think that I'm in such dire need of either of you? Anastaria and Do Not Punic, you are legends in your own clans, so that's where you belong. You will return in 3 months' time. I looked at Anastaria, and I'm certain that I won't be wasting my wish on getting you to remain in the clan. I'll think of something really interesting instead. As for Do Not Punic, I turned towards the young man. Please don't take this personally, but I hadn't even met you before all this, and don't really know who you are. Why would I need you? You could be an agent, just like this, pretty lady.
So you can relax and stop trying to sell yourself. I'm not buying.
Overinflated ego? Do Not Punic looked at Anastaria.
I don't think so. He's just too certain about foregoing all the bonuses that would come with our presence. Doesn't seem like him.
Guys, stop speaking about me in the third person in my presence. I've laid out my position. It doesn't contradict any of the existing agreements. With all due respect, I really don't need...
The cleansing of the Dark Forest quest has been completed. Please contact the Guardian for your reward. The Tear of Iluna, the source of the taint, has been removed, and soon the Cursed Forest will again revert to being the Dark Forest. The quest is 65% complete. Reward, +200 with all encountered factions, +40 to any main stat, +10 character levels. Quest, Restoration of a Holy Relic, Step 3, The Return of the Stone of Light, has been completed. Please contact the High Priestess of Iluna for your reward. The Stone of Light has been found. The quest chain is 75% complete. Reward for completing Step 3, +1 level, +200 to reputation with the Priestesses of Iluna, +50 to reputation with Goddess Iluna. Reward, 3 flasks of the Water of Life. Ding! You've received 6,822 new messages. Do you wish to view them?
When I realized what Plinto had done, I wanted to howl. The second part of the Guardian's gift was as good as gone.
We'd failed to complete his one request, the full cleansing of the forest from the taint. From the very start, the Oak had said that if the Fallen were chased out of this forest, they would just go and occupy another one, spreading their taint elsewhere. Plinto, what have you done?
And that's it? Asked Anastaria in surprise after reading the messages.
Did they just decrease the reputation reward without any further penalties? They didn't dock any stats or levels. Something isn't right here. 65% complete? I simply don't get it. What did we actually lose?
Oh, I did it!
Just a minute later, a smiling Plinto ran up to us, holding the Tear of Iluna and the Stone of Light in his hands.
"Both quests have been completed. We can leave now. The Fallen have been locked inside the castle. They can't get out. They've started trying to break through the wall, but according to my estimation, it will take them a couple of weeks. Pity about the reputation reward, Doc, but that's not the end of the world. The main thing is that our levels and our stats are intact, both in the first and the second quest."
"I don't get it. Why the long faces? Didn't I just complete the quest?"
"You failed it," I said, unable to restrain myself.
"What do you mean?"
Plinto froze, staring at me.
"Exactly that," I was shouting now. "We just had to block the entrance and change all the vampires, but you went and..."
"Man," Undigget interrupted my angry rant, "the quest has been completed and I see no sense in dying to mobs just for experience. So the Azure Dragons clan thanks you for access to the quest and, if you get anything similar, do right. We'll negotiate a price. Do not panic. Let's go. We still have a lot to do."
"The heirs of the Titans are also going back."
This came from Itamzalat.
"I agree with Undigget. There's no first kill on the books, and there won't be much experience gained just from mobs alone. We're going. If you get another quest like this, let us know. We'll talk it over."
In just a few minutes, 27 people packed up, got on their mounts, and sped away towards the Guardian's Glade.
"The quest is finished, man," said Ekeler, who was suddenly standing next to me. "I agree with Undigget and Tamsalat. There's nothing left for us to do in this forest. I understand that it is important for you and your clan to gain levels, so I offer you a 2-month-long boost at our base. For free. For your entire clan. We'll write it off as payment for incomplete quest in the Dark Forest. We're taking in recruits at the moment, and the training should start in 3 days, giving us just enough time to get to Anhur's if we open a portal now. We'll be able to protect you from the Dark Legion, which is still out for your blood, and Plinto won't be going anywhere either. By the way, how would you like to complete our obstacle course?" Ekeler asked the rogue. "It would be interesting to see the results."
"Whatever the clan leader says," was Plinto's short reply,
but I could see from his eyes that the idea caught his interest. It was easy to guess why. It would mean completing the obstacle course of a clan which had been a long-time, bitter rival, and showing their rogues what incompetent and altogether rubbish players they were. From where I was standing, though, it looked like Ekeler was blatantly trying to buy everyone off, and quite thoroughly at that.
"In any case, whatever man's decision is,"
the leader, or the shadow leader, I was beginning to lose track who this guy was, of the best clan in Malabar continued,
"Phoenix is leaving the Dark Forest. I'm grateful for your invitation, and if you get another quest like this, I'm prepared to discuss the price of our taking part."
"Hellfire!"
Ekeler shouted.
"Get ready. We're off to hand in the quest and then return to Rastrum. Mayan, Anastaria?"
Killer nodded and headed off towards the gathering players.
"Hold on."
I stopped him, trying to get a handle on my emotions.
"Do please take all of my guys and then send them for training once they hand in the quest.
To what level will you be boosting them?"
"The course is designed for leveling up from the 20th to 120th level. What about you? Aren't you coming with us?"
"No. I'll stay here for a bit. Spend some time strolling around by myself. Watch those mobs breaking down the walls.
I don't see any sense in stubbornly respawning again and again.
Eckler looked at me, surprised.
You won't be able to do anything on your own. You can't do anything as a shaman for another week. And I believe Plinto when he says that the castle will be open again in 2 weeks' time. Can you tell me what the point of you staying here is?
What's the difference? Everyone got what they wanted, and no one owes anyone anything. The raid is finished, and all obligations have been met. Plinto, I turned to the rogue, I have a special job for you. Show Phoenix how to complete that obstacle course properly. I would be very disappointed if you don't set a new record, both in speed and the number of attempts.
Consider it done, boss.
A smile flashed across Plinto's face.
I realize what I've done by bringing these damn stones here, but no point crying over spilt milk. There's no time limit on playing, so things are bound to work out for you sooner rather than later. But you're right about the chickens. It would be sheer pleasure to show them the proper way of playing the game. Thank you.
So, is this it, then?
When Plinto left to get ready and describe the task at hand to Eric, Leidy, Klutzer, and Barsina, incidentally, it was interesting to note how quickly they all accepted him as their leader. For them, Plinto was the second in terms of authority after myself. At least, I hoped that he was the second. Ants in the Panza came up to me.
The quest is finished and everyone's leaving. Man, I'll go too. I understand that not everything is finished here, and the forest is yet to be completely cleansed, but I have a strong feeling that there is nothing more to be done here. To keep respawning just to clear out the mobs, I think I'll pass. So, my sincere thanks for inviting me, and if you get another quest like this, do give me a shout. By the way, Calatea has decided to meet you in person, and will fly to Anhur's in a week. It turns out that harbingers may only teleport freely within their own continent. Try not to be late.
Why is everyone repeating the same thing?
Thanks. If you get another quest, call us and we'll come.
And yet no one has any inclination at all to help finish off the crowd of enemies still remaining. I was left quite speechless.
You know, I will probably stay.
Anastaria shared the happy news after all the gathering was done and what was left of the raid headed back to the Guardian to hand in the quest.
There's nothing for me to do in Anhur's, and I can hand in the High Priestess's and Guardian's quests any time, so I'll stay with you for a bit. The tent is big enough, and it wouldn't be right to leave you alone with just Slate around, would it?
Stacy.
What?
Why don't you go, eh? I don't really feel like talking right now. I might just lose it and scream my head off at you, only to regret it later.
I had such a great plan, all laid out. Came up with these pine cones and daggers. And it was all for nothing.
I need some time alone to scream it all out at the trees or something.
What did you expect? You made the most common mistake of any manager. Failure to give clear instructions to a subordinate. If you told Plinto that he should not touch the stones under any circumstances, this situation wouldn't have arisen. Experience, Mayan. You need experience in managing people. I'm prepared to stay with you and deconstruct our raid in detail, figuring out where we went wrong and why, and what we got right. And anyway, abandoning a clan leader all alone in a forest? Well, no point beating about the bush. I think that you may still manage to do something with the castle, and I, too, want to get the full reward for the quests. I'm not a fan of half-hearted solutions.
You think? Could Anastaria also have a habit of following her intuition?
Either way, you've managed to get it right so far. Perhaps you'll get it right now, too. I'm leveled up only recently, so respawn isn't much of a threat to me. I'll stay with you and help you stave off the boredom. You still won't be able to summon spirits for a week, right? So we can wait for that. I'll wander around the forest, try to find the Patriarch and have a chat with him. The Fallen Ones are trapped in the castle in any case, and you haven't told me about the Prince yet. I'll find things to keep me busy. Don't you worry.
All right. Stick around, then. Although, I don't see the
It's a deal, then.
The girl interrupted me.
I'm off to scout out the forest. I'll be back soon, and then we'll have that chat about the raid. Don't get bored now.
After finding myself alone, I tiredly sat by the tent and let out a subdued howl, not wishing to disturb Slate. How could it all start out so well and end so stupidly?
So, it's just the two of us now, eh?
After some time, Slate came out of the tent and sat next to me.
You're a free citizen and are certain to return from the Greylands. Can you please take this to my family?
With these words, the prince handed me the round shield that he'd received from the guardian.
For my race, this is a very important object, and if it's returned, I will be given back my rightful place in the tribe. I will become princess's equal, and the emperor will no longer have a reason to forbid our marriage.
Update to the Escorting the Prince quest. Return the ritual disc to the werebeasts, even if Slate dies. Reward, none. Penalty for failing or refusing the quest, none. Time limit for completing the quest, 2 months, 23 days.
You're a bit pessimistic about making it out of here alive, I replied to the werebeast, taking the disc. Why don't we send you back to Anhurs, while the raid hasn't gotten very far?
No!
Slate firmly rejected my idea.
What kind of a prince would I be if I took fright and abandoned the person whom Tisha asked me to protect? I don't need to fear permanent death, since, while I was still back in the palace, the emperor put the death seal on me. In 4 months' time, the priests will bring me back. But for my people, that is too long. The disc has to be returned before that.
Fine. I will deliver it should anything happen to you. This took a huge weight off my mind. Slate is a key NPC, and he, like a quest, has his own respawn timer, so there is no danger of Tisha shredding me to pieces should he die. She'd tell me off, give me a good kicking, but attractiveness will remain the same, especially if I tell her how heroically Slate protected me. Tell me, why is it that you have to be forgiven, and what does this disc mean?
A long time ago, when I was the small and inexperienced younger son of the werebeast chieftain, my older brother decided to get rid of me. He tricked me into stealing the ritual disc, which werebeasts use to communicate with our gods, and destroying it. At the time, I thought I was doing something really important, that I was showing the entire clan that I, too, was able and skillful. How wrong I was. According to our laws, I should have been executed, but Father ruled differently. He banished me, which was contrary to the law, so he was deposed, and the position of the head of the werebeasts was taken by my older brother. The return of the disk would remove the restrictions on my return, so even if I were to die now, I would go back home with another hero and challenge my brother. Underhand deeds like these must not go unpunished in this world.
As befits a key NPC, Slate continued to tell the tale of the injustice committed by his brother and the need for him to be brought justice. But I got the picture. Judging by the scale of this and the absence of any rewards, I'd gotten myself into a high-level social quest. On the one hand, this was a scenario without any clear point to it, but on the other, if I remembered the Farstead old ladies, I wonder, does Anastaria know about such a special feature of social quests as variability? The old ladies landed me Lyra's dress in the end, which Reptilus used to...
Reptilus! Hi! You promised that you'd help me should I ever need it, and now that time has come. Aren't you an assassin? Now then, I have a hunch that you stole a certain scroll from the Emperor's castle, which contains information on the Carmandant chess set, and which I really need. If I am correct in my guess, is there any way that I can get it off you?
After I wrote the letter and waved away the message that the recipient was currently out of the game, I jumped up and started pacing around the tent. If it is Reptilus who got his green paws on the scroll, the agreement with Ekeler could be reviewed. After all, this means he wouldn't be able to fulfill his side of it, and in Barleona, this would lead to enormous penalties. He may be all nice and helpful right now, with his offer to level up my fighters, but I had a gut feeling that he could not be trusted. It may suit him to play nice for now, but a time would come when another Elenium would come between us. No, you had to keep at least one ace up your sleeve. Let's see what he'd do. After settling down somewhat, I began to go through my mail. It wouldn't be right to leave 7,000 letters unread, even if 99% of them are from Anastaria worshippers.
Take me into your clan. I'm a good healer. I'm prepared to work for free. Just introduce me to Anastaria.
There was a mountain of letters like these. Do people really think that after receiving such a letter, I will have no other choice but to beg them to join my clan? It takes all sorts, I guess. Especially amusing were the letters full of threats and promises to catch me in reality and rearrange my face. All because I failed to reply to their letters. Dared to ignore such handsome and important somebodies. Perfect ignore list material. After I blocked another player, I couldn't help smiling as I imagined how a crowd of upset people would break into the prison, find my capsule, pull me out, and begin to beat me up. Just to force the point that I should invite them into the clan and introduce them to Anastaria. I wonder if they'd shorten my sentence as an injured party, if that actually happened.
Hello, Dan.
I was deleting letters almost automatically, so I almost missed one that addressed me directly. Dan? Not Man? Strange. Who would know my real name? Realizing that I was suffering from brain lag, I looked at the sender.
Mirida. There was a big uproar on the forums on account of Anastaria and Plinto joining your clan, and also Dark Legion being out for your blood. I can see that you just can't keep yourself out of trouble.
Smiley face.
I have an acquaintance who is part of the group of celebrity exterminators, and, according to him, they've headed out to the Dark Forest to bump off at least one high-level player. These guys are proper thugs, 20 level 200s. According to the last video from the Heirs of the Titans, you happen to be in the Dark Forest right now, so try not to run into them. They will pin you down at a respawn point and keep you there until the heralds intervene.